Hi guys, welcome to episode 9 of Success in the City. Today we're giving you tips on quitting and signs that you should leave your job.
Yes, at least think about leaving your job.
Think about, yes. Interviews will be in a completely different episode.
Yes, definitely. So as you guys might know, I've given my notice this week, and This Friday was my last day. It was actually very underwhelming. And I'll talk about why. I think it's part of
quitting during work from home still.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just quitting during the pandemic just doesn't feel satisfying. But this inspired us to like share our quitting stories and like, more importantly, signs that you should be leaving a job and you can do better, essentially. So, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay, yes. We agree on these things for the most part. We have the same kind of like savage attitude when it comes to what the job should give you.
You need to be cutthroat about this. You can't slack. You can't, you know, become complacent. You need to like, the second you realize you want to move, you need to move.
Exactly.
Know?
But we'll talk about like the right reasons to move and maybe like the difference between your need to move or need to take a break.
Yeah.
So let's dive in. I just want to like start this with like my most important advice is never quit a job before you can find a new job, okay? Please, I mean, I know this sounds satisfying. I fantasized about this for so long. Do not rage quit in any way. This only happens in movies and it looks fun, but be real about it, right? Like you can kind of fake hard work for a little bit and like look for an opportunity on the side and still get paid before you burn your bridges and just like, you know, set yourself up for like months of maybe unemployment or something like that.
And it's not just setting yourself up for months of unemployment potentially, but then you get more desperate and you're, you know, more likely to settle on a job.
Exactly. You can't be as picky, right?
Actually, one more thing though, because one thing that sort of from the employer's point of view, right? I do a lot of interviewing for my company and I have for other companies in the past. And I know that when I see somebody that just quit their job, when they say they quit their job and they're currently looking for jobs, I tend to think that they got fired or laid off too.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, I don't know. It just gives me an impression that this person like was either on like really bad terms there or like something must have happened.
Maybe they had attitude issues. Like, it just raises so many red flags and question marks.
Really, there could be nothing there, but it just makes you second guess.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's never good when your interviewer is second guessing things about you.
Exactly. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. So, again, I think from a practical standpoint, you should always be getting paid while you're looking for a job. That's how I see it. But that's a more nuanced point. I agree with that completely. And when you're desperate, even in relationships, right? You settle for something less than your worth, and you don't have the leverage to negotiate as well. So that's our number one advice. And I would say what's important before you just keep telling yourself you hate your job, distinguish between your burnout and your need to quit and move to a new role. I think this happened a lot, you know, during the pandemic because we're all burnt out from not being able to travel or see friends and family as much. And, you know, there's no separation between your workspace and home, and you're burnt out. And some of us actually tend to work more when we're working from home because, you know, we're not, you know, commuting or we want to prove to our boss that we're like tied to our screens. So a lot of burnout going on right now in our lives.
Yeah.
And how do you distinguish between your burnout and your need to quit or move to a new role? What do you think?
I think it's hard because sometimes it's the symptoms of both can be very similar.
Yeah, and it's also so easy to blame your job, right? Because
it
you
is,
spend
it
so
really
much time during the day, like 8 hours, whatever, 10 hours on your job. And if you're cranky and in a bad mood, you just like correlate it with how much you worked or what you worked on. And you're just like, oh, I hate my job. You know, it's actually not the reason most of the time. Most of the time, you just need a break like we all do. And the break can be, you know, a little vacation, a little like trip to, you know, it doesn't even have to be a vacation. It could be a day trip, right? We sometimes,
or a long weekend trip.
Yeah, we sometimes like take the metro up to upstate, and like you can actually
go hiking,
and these are
be in nature. It's really nice.
And what's nice is these are accessible and affordable, right?
Mm-hmm.
You use public transportation to go take a hike, and it's really nice. Even if you're just literally in the same state, like you're 1 hour from New York City, it just feels so quiet and you really clear your head. So these little breaks are so crucial, and I promise you it'll make you more productive over the long term.
And if after you take a break, you still feel like your job is horrible, mm-hmm. then it's probably the job and not burnout.
Yeah. So we'll delve into that. So,
but actually, can I just say one more thing before that? Because there's also, I would say there's like two types of burnout. There's like almost chronic burnout where you're feeling constantly burnt out because, you know, you're working crazy hours. You're working till midnight every night. And then there's the kind of burnout where you just had one long project or one long deal that you had to close. And, you know, it was like a horrible 2 weeks, but now it's over. So it's also important to differentiate between those two, because if you have something, some kind of chronic burnout at your job,
right,
then it's also the job itself. It's not just the burnout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. You know, like, I have friends who are desk analysts, for instance. Every time, you know, they cover public names, and every time it's earnings season, they work long hours. But then when the earnings season is over, like post quarter end, they're relaxed, right? So like they know it's temporary, so that helps them get over that, you know, go through that phase a little bit more easily. But if this is like a constant feeling, you need to take some action and do something about that. So okay. let's go into those signs, right? Okay, so you distinguish between your burnout and your need to change the job, right? Change and move to a new role. What are some signs we think are valid for leaving a job?
So I think first of all, and this happens to an extent with all jobs, but some jobs are just a lot worse than others, is that the reality of the job isn't what was advertised. And what this means is that, you know, you got the job description, you did the interviews, people told you what to expect of the job, and then boom, you go in on day one and it's completely different. And, you know, maybe the scope of the role changed in the meantime, or maybe
there was a reorg.
Or maybe they just straight up lied to you, because that happens too. You know, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what happened. The reality is you signed up for one job and now you're doing another one.
Yes. But like, let's be real, it does happen, right? At the end of the day, the employers are selling you the role as well, right? Like, if you look at the description of an investment banking analyst, like, it's all this, like, you know, amazing set of responsibilities and, you know, interesting projects. But then the reality is that you're working till midnight, if not more, aligning logos and formatting decks, right? But then it's established that it gets you exit opportunities. So it's just something that you have to deal with. So I think it does happen. So I wouldn't like completely dismiss a job just because it's a little worse than what they advertised. But you should ask your manager and communicate that. Hey, you know, you told me I was gonna be interacting with XYZ desks and like salespeople, and like I'd be working on these kinds of projects. I was wondering if I can get more exposure to that. You know, like, don't obviously confront them and be like, hey, I don't want to do this grunt work or bitch work. You know, just ask them more of the good things that they advertised, and let's see how that goes.
So, right? Like, I can give one example of this. I was interviewing somebody recently from a very big hedge fund, and he was hired to work on front office as you know, to write like algorithms for trading, right, on a front office desk. And then on his first day there, they told him, "Oops, we need you to work in compliance now."
Are you kidding?
Like, you know, like that's just not even the same set of skills. It's nothing. And I mean, working in front office is a lot more prestigious, and I can guarantee you that this person would not have taken the job had he known It was in compliance. And they kept telling him, look, just another week, just another 2 weeks, another couple months. And he was there for 2.5 years.
Yeah, you know, like, time just goes by so quickly. You just have to do something about
it. You have to do something about it. If they keep stringing you along.
Empty promises.
Yeah, you can't stand for that.
100%.
You need to be more savage about it.
Yeah, not just savage. Honestly, like, hold people accountable, right? Like, mm-hmm. I've done this with my old boss, and I think he tried his best for the most part. But holding people accountable is important, because I could just remind them, hey, you know, like, in my media review, we talked about me getting more exposure to this and that and doing less of ABC. Mm-hmm. And I'm still doing a lot of ABC, and I'm not doing enough of XYZ, right?
Yeah.
So just remind them that, and then remind them, you know, that you are being proactive, and just don't, you know, buy empty promises. Like, there has to be concrete changes, right? This is why it's kind of this guy's fault. I don't know what else was going on in his life, but like, then why stay at that job for 2.5 years,
because
right?
People are complacent.
Yeah, because they don't really, they believe
it's a personality trait. It's not really, it's true. Maybe not personality, but it's like,
clearly he's looking for a new job. Like, yeah, I think his mistake was that he believed the empty words for a little longer than he should have. That's
right.
My thing.
It's gullibility, though, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean by personality traits. Some people, like, take things more, you know, seriously than others.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard, because people in power or people who are more senior than us, they can have really good manipulative
sales experience.
Look, it's sales experience. It's manipulation. They're very believable. I don't want to call this gullible, because it happens to the best
of us,
right?
That's true. That's true. That was a bit insensitive, I think.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean, though, because everyone's very theatrical, right? Like, you just buy it.
Yeah, you really do.
They promise you. They're so reassuring. They're like political figures, guys. So what we're trying to remind you here, or like give you a little warning, is that if your boss keeps promising you the same thing over and over again, and there is no concrete change in how your role is or your set of responsibilities, it's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's move on to the next sign.
And the same thing goes for growth, right?
Yeah.
One thing is about concrete promises, but another thing is for growth, and it's almost the exact same thing. People will keep telling you, you will get that promotion if you do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to promotion time, it's like, oh, sorry, we don't have capacity to hire another VP.
Exactly.
So we have to wait another year or two, you know?
And a year is a long time,
It's
right?
a very long time, I think.
It's a lot of opportunity cost, because you could be moving to a new employer and making a great impression your first year and building, you know, yourself up there. But like, they just string you along. So, I mean, this happens in relationships too. Like, people do promise you, oh, you know, I'm not ready for a commitment right now, but like in the future, come on. So you're not ready for what I want now. Like, let's move on. Right.
Yeah. And this happens a lot more than you would think. So for me, at least,
this happened to me too.
This did happen to you, yeah.
Yeah. I'll talk about that.
I know when I was working at a bank on the trading side, there were 35-year-old associates. You know, it's just ridiculous.
They always dangle that little thing in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you want, and they'll make it very hard to get. And they will also always promise you, like, oh, if you work hard enough, you'll get it. And like, it's a form of manipulation, because they make you think you're not working hard enough, you know?
Definitely.
It's a whole system. I'm sure you all are very familiar with this. But this happened to me too. For instance, my first role wasn't a good fit for me. It was a glorified middle office role. And I just knew I could do better. Maybe I should have had a, you know, better attitude. But like, I was very open about the fact that I wanted something better, right? And people maybe took that personally, or like they thought I was being offensive or something like that. But then every year end, for my performance review, they would just tell me, oh yeah, you might be on track for promotion if you work hard enough, if you keep doing this and that.
Vague promises.
Exactly, vague promises. And also, you know what? They don't want you to be slacking off while you're looking for another role. Like, you know, that's literally it. They still want to get the best out of you while you're there, because they know when people make the decision to go look for another role, their work quality might be a little bit lower. They might be slacking off a little bit, working a little less hard. So they don't want to do that, right? But you know when you know. I knew that there was no room for growth opportunity. Yeah. I knew that only like 30% of the people would get promoted. And they had a couple of like people who were very dedicated to that role. And obviously they want to choose the people that want to be there and not me. So I made it my mission to to find a new role. You know, my job was to find a new job. That's how I thought about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of in line with this a little bit, and there's like no room for growth, but sometimes that might be because you don't get enough visibility, you don't get credit for your work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, your boss takes all the credit for what you do.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're just so deep down the corporate ladder that like there's just no visibility for what you do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you might still be getting promoted, like for some positions. Analyst, associate, even associate to VP might be natural progressions. But who cares if you're a VP if you never get exposure to senior people, if you never get to be in that place where you're a decision maker or you're managing people, right? It's just like a title that shuts you up. So don't get like so into like promotions and even like small like base salary bumps, right? Like you need visibility, you need to be known, and you need to be accumulating political capital. That's definitely how I see
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. For example, at my current role, it's a very flat company. It's very small, it's very flat. Uh-huh. Like I report directly to like, you know, C-level executives. Right. And I don't, you know, there's a few other people on my team that report to the same people, but
you all have the same title.
We all have the same title. We all have the same kind of high-level responsibilities on paper, but in terms of the impact that you actually have on the firm is very different. And I know that when we're all in the same meetings, I know I make an effort to talk a lot, to make myself heard, and mm-hmm. to make sure that, you know, people know what I did and what I can take credit, what I should be getting credit for, because mm-hmm. I'm not gonna let someone take credit for my work or let my work go unnoticed. And I noticed that other people don't speak up and are more shy and mm-hmm. quiet. And in the end, that hurts them mm-hmm. when it comes to bonus time.
100%. And, you know, I was talking to one of our followers. He's so sweet. And he definitely is very burnt out. He's working in this IB role. And it's hard to start your role in during the pandemic as well. So he was talking to me about this. And I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. He was talking to me about this. And I was telling him, look, your bosses are promising you things. They know you're burnt out. They know you like need more people maybe, and you're stretched so thin. But like when you're junior, it feels like your boss has all the leverage. And what I was trying to remind him was, you guys have some leverage too. You know, employers don't love these high turnover rates. They want you to stay where you are because they invest in you. It's also very expensive to hire people and train people. So it's a two-way street is what I'm trying to get at here. You have some leverage. So you can ask for the things you want, and that's not going to change your impression.
Yes,
right?
I entirely agree with that.
Yeah, like ask for what you want. Worst thing is you get a no. And that's a sign that maybe your employer isn't very cooperative with you, right?
You'll never get fired for asking for something.
Exactly. Why not?
But more importantly, you should never threaten to leave.
Yeah.
Because it's implied.
Obviously, delicately.
Everything you say, whenever you ask for things, whenever you're telling them about what you want to be doing, there's always an underlying implication that if you don't get it, you might leave.
You should never
be explicit about it. Yeah, exactly. But
exactly.
You don't want to be explicit, and you don't want to quit and then go back or something.
You cannot go back for the most part.
When sometimes you quit and then they're like, okay, fine, here you go. And then, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. That's not going to be a good relationship.
You never want to do something like that. So you never want to threaten, is my point. You always want to be diplomatic. You want to make sure that everything is sort of implied, but not in an aggressive way.
Exactly. Like, I mean, obviously, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, ask for more, or ask for things to get better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
if it doesn't,
then just start looking
change.
For a job.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you don't have anyone to blame because you just did your best, right? Like, because I don't like this idea of like just giving up on something. Like when I first started the second role, it wasn't exactly what it was promised to me, but I didn't just want to give up because like my seat was a good seat. I was in a good place at a big bank in a very, you know, very good profit generating seat. So I wanted to stay there, but the reality of the work was a little underwhelming, and I just constantly communicated with my boss, hey, I want more of this, I want less of that, you know, and he was hearing me out, you know, and I knew that I did my best and I didn't just give up on things. Like, that's why we're telling you to ask for things, because I'm not an advocate of just giving up on things, you know, like everything can be improved a little bit, but if it's not good enough still after all these improvements, then you can move on, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What else is another sign that you think you should leave a role?
So I think this actually goes a little bit in line with the no room for growth, is if you plateau at your role too quickly and then you're not really learning anything.
Yeah.
If you're not advancing, you know, even if it's not your current career, but your career perspectives for the future, you know, you don't want to reach a point where you're doing the same thing every day, you're not learning anything anymore.
And as you get more senior, it's going to happen a little bit.
It's going to happen a little
bit. Like, you're going to develop this expertise and you're going to be doing the same thing over and over again, right? But like at that point, learning could be interpreted a little bit differently. Like, you could be learning about managing people. You could be learning about a different asset class. Maybe you're gonna become more like a global head of that product. And like, then you could be learning about other, you know, like covering EMEA or Asia. So it doesn't mean just like learning new things on the job, like
exposure
from a
to
textbook.
New things, though.
Textbook point of view, it could be soft skills, but it still keeps you on your toes, is what we're trying to say.
It's all some kind of learning, right? You want to be constantly learning.
Yes, constantly being challenged. Like, for instance, I'm moving to a role where, like, actually, it might seem like kind of unintuitive to you guys to move from trading to a PE role, but both of these roles have a lot of structuring. So a lot of understanding the legal side of things and like negotiating, and the skills are the same really, but I'm covering a different asset class. So like, I don't know if I'm gonna be like learning that much in terms of hard skills, but I'll be learning, you know, more about a different asset class. And then like, I'll be more client facing instead of just like sitting on the trading floor. So, so that, you know, that keeps me on my toes. Like, I'm gonna learn soft skills. And maybe polish some other soft skills that I already had. So, like, that's what I mean. Same with you, right? Like, you're covering futures now.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at a bank and I covered options. Then I worked at
equity
options. Then I worked at a, you know, a prop shop and I covered equities. And now I'm working at a different prop shop covering futures.
There you go. I mean, that's crazy.
Exactly. It's great, though.
That's
because
good.
That's how you get exposed to different product classes and, you know, the kinds of strategies that people are running and, you know, just learning more about the market in general. That way.
And you should be doing a lot of that when you're relatively junior. I would say, like, in the first, you know, 5-7 years of your career.
Yeah.
After that,
you should specialize.
I think so, too. It's going to get harder, too, after that. Anyway, the last sign that I think you should be thinking about leaving a role is that senior people or managers aren't invested in junior talent or retention.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, I know I have IB friend listeners, and I know this is not the way it is in IB, but I will give an exception for IB because I know, and maybe consulting, because I know there's a very predefined path to the next better thing, right? If you're an IB, people aren't investing in the junior talent necessarily. They don't care if you leave, right? 2 years, everyone leaves. That's how they think about it. They have a pipeline of new analysts coming in, you know, to step in and do your work. So that's okay, because, you know, if you're an IB, just stick it out. Just move on to the better thing. just be patient and stay there for 2 years. That's the only exception I'm gonna give, IB and consulting for the most part. But in any other jobs where you think about a long-term career, yeah. I think it's a huge red flag if people aren't invested in junior talent. If they don't care if you leave or like...
They treat you like interns, basically.
Exactly. Like, they shouldn't be thinking about you in terms of like, oh, some, you know, just like... disposable assets, like they shouldn't be think about, and it's just not nice. I mean, for instance, my like second role, when I quit this Monday and I like let a couple of people know personally, they were very upset. Like, they were so upset to see me go, and like that was a good feeling because I knew that like they, you know, they thought I was smart and hardworking and they thought I was a great asset to them. So that's just a good feeling. But if they kind of like had a nonchalant attitude and they didn't care if I left, like I'd be a little bit upset, you know? So I think that's very important.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. Anyway, so our conclusion here is that in some cases, like, you know, the next move and it gives you a great exit opportunity. And then you should think about your role a little bit more pragmatically, like a stepping stone. But in other cases, think about the signs that we talked about.
Yeah.
And definitely just get in and get out. You know, that your job should be to find a new job.
But if you are in the get in, get out situation, try to get the most out of it while you're there.
Right. What do you mean by that?
Experience, networking.
Exactly.
Connections, just... everything you can get, basically.
Yeah, like for instance, if you're working at a bank, right? I mean, people are dying to get into those places, so make sure you just like extend your network as much as you can, mm-hmm. right? Really connect with people and don't make it like a shallow networking thing. Like, stay in touch with those people, you know? Like, try to impact them like that. So, definitely. So let's move on to a more fun part. We'll keep this episode short.
Some quitting stories.
Quitting stories.
Both of us.
Go. You tell me your craziest quitting story.
Okay. When I worked at a bank.
Oh, yeah. All the crazy stories come from banks.
They really do. People are so much more civil on the buy side. But this, my manager was just such a control freak. And he, first of all, I told him I quit. And he's like, no, come on. Like, you're not quitting. Like, just like take the weekend to think about it. You know, let's talk again. Like,
no, I'm
and
quitting.
Then like I can see like while I'm trying to quit there, he's like texting people and he's like, help, SOS, like send people in, like we need to get this guy to stay. Like, was barely even paying attention to what I was like saying. He's just like, no, come on, you don't want to leave. Just
this happens with breakups too. Like when I tried to break it off with people, I was like, I don't want to see you again. Like they'd be like, no, come on. I'm like,
come on,
you
don't mean that.
Like, I do mean it. Like, leave me the fuck alone, right? Like, it's just so funny when people are in denial to me.
Anyway, so, like, I'm talking to everyone. They're like, oh, we'll give you 6 months. You can work on whatever you want. Like,
they
you don't,
always say
you
that.
Don't even need to have positive results. Like, just, you know, don't leave. It's like, go take a month vacation, paid vacation. It's fine. Like, everything, you know, my boss's boss, actually, he was like the global head of equities trading.
That's crazy.
He's like, okay,
begging you.
He's literally like, we'll double your comp.
No way. They don't mean that, though.
I mean, like...
Like, that's the thing. Like, they will always say... It's like this fuckboy vibe, right? Like, I mean, we've all been one or been with one. Like, it's okay. Like, it's a phase. But they'll just tell you what you want to hear. And they just don't mean it. Like, period. You know? Like, there's no way they... will double your comp. I just don't buy it.
Yeah.
Maybe eventually in 5 years, but like not next year, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing, but it's hilarious. And like, what about your, like, he also told to keep it a secret,
He told me not to tell anyone. He told me like, don't tell anybody. Keep this discreet. Actually, first thing in the room, he's like, okay, you want to go? Go. Like, just leave. I'm like, wait, chill. Like,
that's so bipolar.
I was like,
he's begging you to stay. Yeah. And then he's like,
go. Oh, it's like, if you hate it so much, just go. I'm like, okay, well, like, chill for a sec. Like, I can stay, like, the 2 weeks. I can, you know, transfer ownership of everything I've been working on and everything.
You were too nice.
Yeah, I was. He didn't deserve it. Anyway, he's like, okay, fine. So he's like, okay, but don't tell anyone. So I'm not telling anyone. And it's like the day, my last day there, I still haven't really told anyone except for, like, the two people that, like, I was, you know, getting drinks with and stuff outside of work anyway. And he's like... I was like, okay, like, I'm going to write my goodbye email. I was like, oh, no, don't write it. I'll write it for you.
Are you kidding me? This is hilarious.
And so he writes it at 5:30 on a Friday, 5:30 p.m. on a Friday, my last day on the job. Like, a bunch of the desk is gone home already.
Oh my God. Yeah. What a control freak.
It's insane.
That's insane. It's insane. The moment your boss, like, asks to write your own goodbye email on your last day, like, that's just, you were so well behaved though. I mean, if they told me to do that, I wouldn't follow that rule. I mean, I'm leaving. I have the right to share that with my colleagues, right? Like, also, I'm trying to keep this network with me, right? Like, I would just definitely, I mean, I don't know. I would at some point tell people.
So, yeah, anyway, like, I was still friends with a bunch of people on the team. The guy was actually very nice to me up until I left. He's like, oh, if you ever want to come back, if you ever start your own company, I want to invest with you. You know, like, all of this bullshit stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, so nice and everything. And apparently, like, the second I leave, like, boom, it all just goes complete, you know, 180. And everyone's telling me, oh, yeah, he's shitting on you, like, every week. He's like, oh, he did that project. Oh, yeah, no wonder it's not working properly or something.
Oh, my gosh.
So funny. So
people
funny.
Can be petty and bitter.
So petty, yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's funny. Like, don't ever take it personally. This happened to a friend of mine. Like, also, she on the training side, she gives her notice. And they're just like, no. Stay. Give us 6 months. Stay for 6 months. Work on whatever you want. But it's like, where were you at when I was, like, not satisfied with my job?
Yes.
Like, why are you giving me this 6 months thing now? You know, they always say, give me 6 months, work on whatever, take vacation. No, it's just so much deeper than that. Like, you know, people don't realize that and they just freak out. If you're good, they freak out like this. For in my case, I guess no one really freaked out. Maybe they didn't think I was that great. My first one, I told you guys, it was like a glorified, middle office role. And from maybe like 6 months on, I just made it very clear that I didn't want to stay there long term. I was interviewing, but I was also waiting for my visa, so they knew I was kind of stuck. So it was a very awkward relationship, you know, like, and my boss was kind of taking it a little bit personally, maybe, that I didn't want to stay there. So when I gave my notice, he was kind of relieved. You know, it was fine. They still did cute things for me, like a little breakfast in the conference room or something like that. And they wrote me like a card. But it was still awkward, you know, until that moment, because it was so clear that we both wanted me to leave. And I ended up leaving for a better role in the front office. And I still kept working with the old team, so that was a little bit awkward. But my second quitting story was cute, you know, like, it's just people were sad, you know. But like, my boss, it wasn't awkward because he was like, I expected it, you know, like, we talked about it.
He knew, like, you were unhappy. He knew, you know.
You know, he because we had honest communication. Like, I always communicated what I wanted to do more of. And what I wanted to do less of. And he actually was hearing me out, but I feel like the reality of the role, he could only change so much for me. So I think he understood it. He's like, I'm not surprised, but like, I'm very thankful for everything you did. So it was very civil and very cute.
Yeah.
I got everyone chocolate and said bye to people. So, you know, it's really, I think first and foremost, it's the personality thing, you know, depends on your personality and your bosses. Like, they could be petty, they could take it personally, they could be bitter about it, but it is what it is. Try not to take anything personally.
And try not to feel bad about leaving. I think it's...
Oh yeah, I feel guilty most times.
Yeah, I always tell you not to, because you're moving on to better things.
And I don't owe them anything, really.
And just lose sight of the reasons why you're leaving sometimes after you gave your official notice or something.
Yeah, I'm just like I'm way nicer than you.
You are.
I think that's it. That's really it. Because like, after I gave my notice, I was working so hard still, like working on a deck, like, you know, like putting together spreadsheets for my boss. Like, you know, I had daily check-ins with him. Like, you know, I was just very nice. I just think I'm a more grateful person, because I just thought like, okay, this role got me that next role. So I just want to, I guess, like, do my best before I leave, you know?
That's true. And you know, right, it's good to keep...
It's a small world.
It's good to keep things on good terms, yeah.
Yeah, you run into these people, I promise you, it has happened to me, like, in the craziest ways. So always try to leave on a good note if you can. I mean, we opened this episode by saying, do not rage quit. Like, do not do that.
It's the most important takeaway here, probably.
Exactly. So just check your put your emotions in check, and hopefully this was helpful.
And please let us know, message us with any interesting quitting stories.
Yeah, I have one actually. Wait.
I'm very curious to hear some.
I have one from our Turkish friend. Let's see. Let me read this, you guys. It's hilarious. So, he used to work for this crypto trading company before switching to a hedge fund. First of all, good move. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm all for crypto, but it's a little bit shaky to start your career there. The guys in my team consistently commented on what a bleak future the company had. Red
Not
flag.
Not a good sign.
Not a good sign. I thought if the employee doesn't believe in the company, especially in a startup environment, then it won't make it anyway. That's a very good point. That's a great observation from him.
Yeah.
When I explained this to my boss, and they were in a WeWork space, get this, that's crazy. I'm not surprised. And he said he would be leaving. He started screaming and swearing in front of other people. Are you kidding me? When your boss loses it this way, it's a sign. Like, he knows that there's some reality. He might be under a lot of pressure because the company's probably gonna go under, right? So, any kind of like emotional outbreak from someone older than you and hopefully more mature than you, it's a very bad sign. Anyway, so then he called him like many different things, names. He was screaming and swearing. Are you kidding me? And he didn't say anything. And then he just asked him, where he could leave his car, and he just like walked out. I'm like, I love this story.
I love that. That's
insane.
That's so good.
He's so mature. I think he handled that so well. And it's
seriously,
like, it's like a power move, just like walk away. Okay, here's my corporate card. Bye, honey. Like, I'm out. There was another one. I think this one. So she wanted to quit and, wanted to call her staffer. And the staffer was just like not picking up the phone because like, I think the staffer thought she was going to complain about like the new staffing or something like that. And like, he probably not wished that that's why she was calling about. That's what she was calling about.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think like, staffers, it's a selfish thing. They think about themselves like, oh my gosh, if you leave, like we're screwed. Like who can work on this, right? Like they're not going to take it very personal. I think they're thinking pragmatically, but everyone else in her team was very supportive. So I think that's
great.
It
all worked out in the end. Yeah,
exactly.
That's good.
So message us any crazy stories. I'm
always
like,
I'm dying to hear
down
what you guys
for
have.
A good quitting story.
Definitely.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. As always, please follow us on Instagram at successinthecity.ny. Please continue submitting any questions you have.
Yeah.
Either DM us or you can email us at successinthecity.ny@gmail.com. And
spread the word.
Spread the word, please. Yeah. We're trying to increase our Spotify and Apple Podcast presence. So
yes, absolutely.
If you have any friends that you think will enjoy the podcast, please share it with them as well.
Yep.
And we're going to do a Q&A episode
at the end of the month.
At the end of the month. So, just submit any more questions you guys have and we'll try to fit in as much as we can for that episode.
Yes. All right, thank you guys.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.